morning. My name is Samuel, and I'm going to be your assistant during the conference today. At this time, I would like to give you welcome to all the conference of financial reports of the second quarter 2015 of Celsius SA. All lines have been placed in silent mode to avoid any background noise. After the comments of the presenter, there will be a Q&A session. If you wish to make a question at that time, please press the asterisk button after one in your phone. Thank you. Now I have the pleasure of giving the floor to Natalia Molina. Please go ahead.
Thank you, Samuel. Good morning to all. I tell you that today we have Esteban Piedraíta, our CFO, and Ricardo Guerra, our CEO. I want to comment that the reports that we published were published yesterday in Spanish and in the report, and that in this call, we will review the main financial milestones that we published, and we will be sharing with you the most relevant issues. I now give the floor to Ricardo.
Thank you. Good morning to all, and thank you for being with us today in this call. We know that it is a very difficult week in many fronts, especially referring to the volatility of the stock exchanges and the exchange rates, and when in Colombia, we don't have enough rain to allow us to generate, or when there was an accelerated devaluation or regulation takes away profitability. Nevertheless, our distribution business grows, and it continues to be of value, and our investments in Central America are behaving better than what expected. It is diversified with projects and ideas to continue growing with many potentials. This is what makes us strong at times of volatility, and this semester is what we will continue focusing on. Celsius is a company that is well-positioned in the electrical market in Colombia, with a good mix of business between generation, distribution, and of technological. In the same time, with the incursion into Central America, we have an important diversification of risks, not just regulatory, but also of exchange rates. More than 24% of our EBITDA comes from our new geographies, and 50% of our income are denominated in dollars. This, what we mentioned, was very important in the second trimester or quarter, when the consolidation of international operations and the distribution business, the company obtained results according to the historical averages, including 2014. Even though the macroeconomic conditions, in particular the dollar devaluation and the climate, were favorable for our business of generation in Colombia. Now, while we are preparing to increase our competitivity in the market, and this is how we have created a series of adjustments in the management of the company, and in particular in Colombian operations, to give more potency, quality of response to our company before the challenges present and future. We have invited three people to join our team. Julián Cadavid, that will lead our operations of distribution and transmission. Julián is a veteran of the industry with international experience and broad recognition in the sector. Luis Felipe Vélez is going to be our commercial leader. He is experienced in marketing and sales, has formed in different sectors to the electrical sector, and this is going to allow us to have conversions and differential strategies in this front. Juan Manuel Acetes, that is going to be coordinating all the issues of innovation, development of new products. The area and priority focus that we're multiplying in human resources as financial resources to guarantee the insertion of Celsius and the transformations that are happening in our sector. The different teams that we had in Colombia that were registered in Celsius and ELSA previously have started to work as one single organization. We launched 3 weeks ago a reorganization that allows us the previous. With this, we hope to harness to the max the human talent that we have and capture the ideas of transformation and growth. We have fabulous operational excellence, innovation, a focus on client work team, and work with our collaborators. is to highlight our objective that our organization is immersed in the culture of innovation that allows us to have the new opportunities that are being created, not just with the technologies and the applications, but also new business models to solve the needs of our customers. This is how we will strengthen the initiatives that we have been working in issues of renewable energies and non-conventional energies and electrical transportations and solutions for our provision of energy to areas that are not covered. Now we pass the financial results for which we published yesterday in the website for investments, the quarterly report for each line. I highlight the excellent results of the operation in Central America in the quarter that were superior of those registered in 2014 among the management that is happening to have availability and trustworthiness of the coal generator. We gained to 68 gigawatt hours generated that represents a compliance of 112% of the PVA. The results very relevant for the Panamanian electrical system, given the importance of this unit for its stability. With this, the EBITDA margin of Alamina passed from 3% in 2014 to 20% in 2015. The better atmospheric conditions of the region have allowed that the eolic park of Guanacaste in Costa Rica continues having record levels of generation, and that the Osmales chain in Panama increased the level of production, improving the contracts with their own self-generation. And this is the favorable behavior of the marginal cost, and Panama has improved the margins of these operations. For the coming quarters, we hope that the price of oil has a marginal cost below historical levels and in line with what is observed this year, that is favorable to the contractual conditions of the company in that region. In the case of Costa Rica with PEC, we hope that the wind continues behaving in a good way, influenced by the phenomenon of El Nino that is manifested with increase in the intensity and speed of wind speed in that country. We now pass to Colombia. The operation of the quarter was a favorable scenario for the company in the macroeconomic and climatic areas. For one part, the hydrological reports of our dams were at 70% of the mean, before an average national average of 40%. This reduced the energy generated and increased the need of purchase in stock exchange to augment the contracts. And secondly, the behavior of the exchange rate and fuels has increased the values of generators over 30% before 2014. And this added to a firm contracting that obligates the generation and a reference value on the scarcity has a maximum price of sale in the stock, has a deterioration of the zona franca celsius generation. In the operational front, given the high levels of operation experimented in 2014-2015, we had successful maintenance programs of the two units of zona franca celsius that we had a 13-day outage and 14-day outage for Flores 13 and Flores 14. These are carried out to guarantee the trustworthiness of operations in time and ensure compliance of the recommendations of the manufacturer. The income grew 11% thank you to a greater average consumption of the residential sector and the increase of clients and a better behavior of IPP. We highlight the dynamic of sales to the non-regulated market, thank you to the commercial strategies understood to extend the base of clients with an increase of 7% in the commercial demand of EPSA in comparison with 1.1% of growth of demand of commercial growth of the system. For the coming quarters, we expect to see the intensity of dry weather in this area, and there is a higher risk for drainage in the residential sector. The housing projects that were delivered in June and July were occupied fully, and the residential consumption will have a higher consumption in the next quarter. As a result of the previous, in the second quarter of this year, we have consolidated income for 775 billion pesos, 5% below presented in 2014. While the cost of sales was 24% over the same period in the previous year, and it was lower 4% in comparison to the first quarter of this year, this because of the situations explained previously regarding the operational costs. Expenses is over 2014 due to the incorporation of expenses of operations in Central America and staff in Colombia, but in the first quarter of this year, the increase of expenses is only 3%. The EBITDA for the second quarter is 2.2 billion pesos. It's a historical mean that is relevant and timely. The initiation of the recent international negotiation that brought us to dynamic positions of the market that allow us to compensate greatly the disfavorable effects that we had in Colombia. In the results of operations, we include 16 billion in financial expenses associated to companies in Central America and the mean cost of the businesses by the increase of ITC. The tax issue, we have to highlight the excise tax of CRE, the greater depreciation of NIF that is not recognized in tax terms, and also the greater expenses because of deferred taxes in Costa Rica. As a result of the previous thing, for the closing of the second quarter, the net gain of the company is 13 billion pesos. When we discount, the net gain attributable is a loss of 14 billion pesos. Now, regarding our plan of investments and expansion, it is possible to have tests of the hydroelectrical project of Cucuana that is going to generate 55 megawatts to our generation park. We have 27 generation stations, 22 that use renewable sources, and for which its construction we invested 335 billion pesos. The project will finish the test stage of the second unit at the end of September. This central was certified as a mechanism of clean development by the Organization of the United States for its contribution to climate change. In 21 years, it will avoid emissions of 21 million tons, nominal tons of the fall. We have to highlight that the Zona Franca Celsia, given its special scheme of assignation based on FARMI, has assured remuneration of charges by trustworthiness for its coming 11 years. Additionally, it's important to recognize the important role that these types of generation stations to guarantee great trustworthiness, and it's going to be considered by the regulator in the definite resolution that it will be available after November. For the other part, I am very happy to inform you that we filed by the Superintendency of the Municipality Public Services the Zona Franca Celsia for noncompliance with rules of market informed last January. The superintendency took the explanation, and we are awaiting the definitive resolution with this conclusion. Finally, facing our options of growth, I want to highlight two relevant facts in Colombia, that is the closing of the purchase of Project Porvenir 2 on June 30th last year and the adjudication by the Ministry of Mines of Energy that is in line with the strategy of energy to grow in the business and distribution nationally. The first is the project of extension of the capacity of a substation and improvements in two other substations of La Guajira with an expected investment of 34 billion pesos that will help to regulate and improve the voltage of energy in Riohacha and Magao and would enter into operations at the beginning of 2016. The second is the construction of a substation of 160 kilovolts in Montevideo with the expected investment of 44 billion pesos will improve the trustworthiness of the our distribution system of Cordova and will enter into operation at the end of 2017. These projects are attractive because they represent a new source of diversification in geographical zones in Colombia and stable income for 25 years since they come into operation. We have to thank you for accepting this invitation, and we accept the volatility of these days with intelligence to position ourselves towards the future, as we want to do in Celsia. We want to answer your questions and comments. Thank you very much. Samuel, please go ahead. At this time, I would like to inform you that if you want to make a question, please press your asterisk button and number one. And the first question comes from the line of Virgo Buitrago from Bancolombia. Good morning. Thank you for your presentation. The question is under the perspective of what's coming for the second semester of this year and 2016 because of the phenomenon of El Nino. I would like to know, how is Celsia prepared to face this phenomena in terms of fuel contracting for the thermoelectric plants, and what do you expect for signals of pricing or prices so we can have this pass-through of thermal generation costs in the energy that will be sold? Thank you very much. Situation well for those that are in the southeast, and you see the news, the region of the southeast, Cali and Cauca are seeing a very severe drought. They're having problems with water as they had not seen in many years. So the situation there is very difficult. Our dams are very low, unfortunately. And we hope that this short term of rains that is beginning will improve the situation and will be a palliation to improve the generation that we were not able to produce in the first semester. El Nino, all studies and agencies are telling us that the Nino is from weak to moderate to strong, and it's going to happen until the first semester of next year. So we see dry conditions in the southwestern area of Colombia. And regarding the thermal issue, I would say that we are entering a phase in which we will have better results to what is left of this year. We have a strategy in contracting fuels and negotiation that allows us to make a pass-through of these generation costs, but there are issues that we do not control, as you were able to see in the report, like the exchange rate that affects us, and also the level of rain that I say. We have done different types of prayers to get that rain that we're needing, and also we have a confrontation with the market signals and also the financial impact that we expect for the second semester. Yes, just to fill in what I would say, and Ricardo mentioned this, in this second semester, besides everything that they mentioned, we are expecting the entry of operation of Kimbo and MarketLink expecting it, and that contribution of water will mitigate the effects of drought throughout the system. This should help us to keep a line of pricing that is at least less incisive, but the behavior of the dollar and the volatilities mentioned by Ricardo at the beginning of this presentation are going to be important. We are going to have greater flexibility for the second semester. We believe there's going to be flexibilities in the rest of this period this year. That should not be a problem for the operation of thermoelectric plants, but in the TRM continues to keep a level of pricing like 3,200 and 300, and those prices, the cost of generation is going to be a variable cost that is going to be very high and is going to reduce our possibilities of making an efficient operation. We need a pass-through, but we have a contractual position that is open, and we need between 1,300 to 1,400 gigas of contracts per quarter, and in that exercise, the behavior of the market are going to, if the thermoelectric plants are not able to marginalize and the price is high, this is going to keep us hitting hard. So we're going to speak of Colombia, and we will speak of Panama and Costa Rica. That condition of El Nino is going to affecting the tech. We continue levels of production that are higher than expected. This continues to be intense and strong, and has allowed us to be above historical averages in Panama. The behavior of dollar is going to translate in new reductions in the marginal cost of the Panamanian system, and this is going to continue favoring our operations. The price of oil, I'm sorry, and it's going to favor us in the measure that we will have energy sales contracts that are going to be very important and very relevant, and we're going to be able to make a series of activities, even obtaining some margin. In the specific case, the maintenance that we had programs for B&M, that we are seeing if we're able to carry it out in time. This was programmed for December, and this would be for the case of November. Do you have any other questions? Juan Serrato from Porvenir. Good morning. Thank you for taking the question. I have two questions regarding the resolution by CRE. I wanted to understand in a better way what impact this regulation could have in the operation that has no charge for trustworthiness, and your position or your perspective, if in general we could start seeing that the new regulation tries to incentivize other types of technologies with other variable costs, and to see what impacts you see this would have in the middle and long term in the operation of Celsia. Yes, Juan, I'm going to answer this question. We are now analyzing the implications, but I think we have seen two important implications for us. The first free zone operations. So we have 11 years of guarantee of those charges for trustworthiness. So it's very possible that we won't have any effect in our most important thermoelectric plant. So in the other hydroelectric plants could suffer because we have one-year contracts. Hello. Hello. I'm sorry that there's a delay in today's conference. There's a delay. It will reinitiate in 1 minute. Please wait. So I was telling you that the issue of charge for trustworthiness, it affects us. But there's another very interesting thing that I hope you take into account in the analysis, is that we have in Porvenir 2 with environmental license and a new mechanism for Porvenir is going to enter in first line. There's no other project in Colombia, with the exception of Ituango in phase 2, that would be in that situation in issues of water. So that is a competitive advantage that is given to us by the resolution, so we can go for a case for trustworthiness in Porvenir 2 if we make the decision of building that project. These are the main effects that we're seeing. There are other negative effects of the resolution, mostly in what is the affectation of the spot price when they give signals with a scarcity price that is not responding to reality. The scarcity price today in Colombia is indexed to fuels, liquid fuels, and it's this scarcity price is falling a lot, but it's not responding to the reality of costs in the system. So this is an issue of the resolution that has to be taken very much into account.
So complementing what Ricardo and a bit of the second question of the perspective on the development of other technologies, I think what has come in the past few months, the past year, trying to develop regulation that incentivizes the substitution of liquid fuel technologies. But it's important the system requires a balance not just of technologies like hydroelectric energy, eolic, or coal, but it also needs plants with low costs of installation and higher variable cost of generation, but they support at these times that we're seeing of hydrological scarcity. The company has foreseen this, and we are always working on a diversified portfolio of technologies that give us a capacity of responding in the market. And as was mentioned in the teleconference, finally, the regulators recognize that each technology has important contribution to the stability, competitivity of the system. Juani, it's very important to, I like this question a lot. Any mechanism that CRE proposes of thermal plants that are supported by liquids, that is not our case because us, our backup of Zona Franca is 2016, but we have backed it by the gasification plant that is going to enter into operation next year. This is very important that you know because it gives us a lot of ease. But what I wanted to say that Medieléctrica, that is a gas-operated plant, we hope that there be a transition mechanism for migration of the backup of the Colombian system requires of those plants of thermal generation to liquid fuels. This cannot happen overnight, and it generates a disruption in the market and the rules of the game and the legal stability the electrical system has to guarantee investors. And this is why Colombia has a system that does not fade out like many neighbors. So we expect that this be taken into account and there not be a change in the rules of the game that is drastic in profitabilities that can accept the Colombian electrical system and its trustworthiness. Thank you, Juan.
The next question comes from the line of Rafael España from Cerfinco.
Good morning for covering my question. I have two questions. The first, can you give us a view on the differences between the speed of oil prices and devaluation? It's happened, it has not been one-to-one always, but I would like to know what risks you perceive in that scenario for the subsidiary companies that you have in Colombia or in Central America. And the second question is, I do not know if you can give us a view if the new regulation could affect the timing or viability of the regasification project that is being built in Catarina. Thank you.
Thank you. Okay, I'm going to answer the first question. Rafael, here we want to begin by one thing, the history of the company with investments in Central America and the diversification of currencies is important so that
the consolidated of the organization be very different. Today, 30% of our income comes from dollars fully, 20% fully from the Central American operation, and 10% here by charges by trustworthiness. And also we have natural coverages of assets and liabilities. The liabilities that we have, and unfortunately, because of the issues of accounting rules, is recognized in the TIG as a difference of negative change is lesser than the active position that we have of our investments in Central America, and because of accounting rules, is being registered in the patrimony of organizations as valuation. Just for the cut of June, the difference of exchange by loss was to the order of 15 billion, but in benefits by difference of exchange for operations, foreign operations that registered difference in patrimony were 46 billion pesos that was favorable, and this is 31 billion pesos in favor in that exchange. What is the particular exercise? In Colombian geography, TRM has incidence and variable costs of generation of thermoelectric plants, and that increase in WCI can be transferred to the stock exchange price. There's no problem with the exchange rate. In the WTI is hitting in two hearts. In Colombia, it does have an effect in scarcity price with liquid fuels. Truly, the scarcity price is associated to a bunker plant, and in Colombia, we do not have any plants of those. The plants that operate here are of residual fuel too, but most are diesel that not generally follow the same pattern of behavior in cost. And the second is in Panama, where the marginal cost of the has a correlation with oil pricing in the system, and the measure that policies, what has been explained, that reduction in prices is redundant in the interests of the company because of our contractual position, and is giving us the possibility of implementing all the strategies that we had at the point of purchase, that when the oil returns to levels of $70 or $80, the company in general, from the point of view of competition in that market, will be in a very much more solid position and be able to harness those better conditions of pricing. Thank you, Rafael. One question regarding this, because then the issue might change. Regarding that last affirmation, if the WTI and the dollar do not correlate, for example, the dollar continues going up, even though the WTI goes up, there could be a difference in the natural coverage in the companies in Central America. Is that true? It's a rare scenario, but I want to see if I understand this well. Yes, in Central America, you can remember that Panama is has the currency is the dollar, and Costa Rica is a dollar economy. Our contract is fully dollarized, so in that sense, that correlation does not happen. There is no investment in exchange rate with a bad performance in our Central America operations. Our Central American operations contribute to, with greater force, to the consolidated results of our organizations, but then passing the costs would be going up by a WTI and an exchange rate that varies. So I want to just to understand. I do not want to say what's going to happen, but if we pass this to pesos, if the WTI goes up and the peso does not move, could that effect be generated? Yes, it could happen. In a very low measure, but it could happen. And the difference between assets and liabilities in terms of devaluation, the liabilities and the cost of liabilities are transferred to PSI, but the assets, no. So you have monetary assets or fixed assets. We speak of permanent investments. that affect our patrimony. We're speaking of investments, liquid investments like bonds. They would go to PIG, but in this case, they go to patrimony because they correspond to permanent investments in Panama and Costa Rica.
Thank you.
Okay, now the second question regarding the regulation. The regasification plant is doing well. It's on schedule for construction. We are with a thermal group studying the issue of gas contracting. We are waiting to have those discussions with the regulator, and we are working on logistics and the cost of gas put at the plant, or delivered at the plant, so we will be in operation in the specified times. Thank you very much.
The next question comes from the line of Mr. Andres Cardona de Tejeda Pactual.
Good morning, Andres Cardona. I have two questions. The first one associated with the sustainability of the dividend paid to date. We're seeing recorded loss, and the coming year, how do you see the sustainability of the same? And the second is we adjudicated the Porvenir license, but we are still balancing possible acquisitions. Maybe if you could tell us a little bit if we're still assessing new targets or what is the dynamic of the Porvenir project. Thank you very much.
Yes, Andres, regarding sustainability of the dividend, we have to understand that this business, we have been doing very well for 4 or 5 years, where they have played in favor hydrology, stock exchange prices, the contracting of gas. We have had very, very good years, and this has allowed us to continue strengthening the company, continue growing, and in particular, keeping our standard of living. The company is solid in patrimony, and we have reserves that in case the results and profits are not good, we can use reserves to keep our level of dividends and that our shareholders can keep and be happy with the profitability. This is in previous teleconferences when we have still kind of the dividends. The company knew that in those very good years, as Ricardo was mentioning, the pay advisor was low, and we continue having keeping the thesis that thesis is more relevant, that is better to manage a dividend that is reasonable in growth, moderate, that allows to balance those good times and bad times, and managing the growth process. That policy of the past in this times of results when we have research and the patrimonial stability, this translates and will not translate in the volatility of the dividend. So regarding the issue of Porvenir 2, has some these projects outside of the phase of construction, we have socio-environmental issues and issues of land that are complex. We have started to have conversations with the national government and communities in the region to try to identify those points that could affect positively or negatively the project. And we have received important support by the part of the communities, and the national government is supporting us in the instruction and scoring of those risks. We want to have all elements over the table to be able to make a decision in the coming months if we should take on this project or not. The project has many advantages for us. This project, for example, could be a mitigating factor in the volatility of hydrology in the Southwest. It has base. It has a percentage of firms of energy at 70%, and its constructive system or construction system is favorable before other projects made in Colombia.
or best in Colombia. We are in that assessment. It is important, relevant for this organization. We have worked on this for many years, but it has some points to be clarified, and we hope that with the support of the government, we'll be able to solve these and make an announcement if we are going to continue on with this project or not. In issues of acquisitions, are you looking at investments outside of Colombia? And a third time question, in Central America, we see that they have a good contribution in the part of sales and of a big gap of the visibility in terms of anything is very low. So maybe is there something in the management of debt that could improve that visibility? Yes, briefly, I'm going to respond this of acquisitions. We will continue looking for opportunities, profitable opportunities in the region, but what is important in Central America is on a growth platform, and we're not only going to grow in projects, we're studying issues of growth in Costa Rica and Panama and in some other areas, and also in the hand like Cementos Argos that has needs of energy in other areas of Caribbean and Central America. So we start to exploit some synergies of the group. But I allow Esteban to talk a little bit more on the second part of your question. Andres, on the issue of the visibility of results of Central America, this is a very different market, as we have commented. This is a long-term vision market that is much more important, that allows us different leveraging. We are speaking issues to maximize in terms of refinancing or part of that indebtedness. And remember that the structure that Suez had for capital injection was a structure that is a little bit strenuous. And there is, in the report that we started to produce to you, we're trying to make a consolidation for the whole of the region of Central America, has included the debt associated to Central America to give you an idea of each corporation with particularities, but a general associated debt for the whole of the group and also everything connected with the structures of indebtedness that are particular to Central America. Anyway, as always, whatever we can help you for the issue of visibility and that it does not hurt in our competitive structure in that market, we're willing to help you with this issue. Yes, I understand, but the question goes regarding the contribution made by Central America to the net profit and debt management that could help to improve that dynamics. Well, in the issue of debt improvement, there is a way, but let's say it's important to fall in time. Today, Central American contribution is a net profit. It's not an enormous contribution. The second quarter, unfortunately, we have the reversion of the deferred tax inception, and we see the effects in the results that Central American contribution for this second quarter would have been close to 12 billion pesos. This is an important contribution that is made by the Central American business, and that is affected by that reversion that is caused in that quarter. But if we extract that component, the results of the quarter contribute 12 billion pesos to net profits. This is an important contribution to the results of the organization. As I was saying, we are working on reprofiling and see the possibilities to improve the conditions of those generating stations, but we have to say two things, rates and terms. We want greater values in those two elements. Thank you very much.
The next question comes from the line of Cristian Hernandez from Ultra.
Good morning. Thank you for taking this call. I just wanted to make a question here on these margins. As you see, we have the dollar has strengthened before the peso in the third quarter. What can we expect regarding the generation costs? And we should observe EBITDA margins below 23%, taking into account the devaluation of the peso. For what we have left of 2015, we should expect similar margins to the first semester of 23-25%. Once we overcome 2015, the margins should go back to normal levels. Central America between 25 and 35, depending on the behavior of operations, and Colombia once again returning to levels of 40% that have been historical. Thank you. Thank you. And I have a following question from line Jaime Pedrosa from Credit Corp. Good morning. Thank you for covering the questions. I have several questions, and I would like you to help me understand a bit better what we can expect. You already spoke of the second semester this year, but in 2016, which are the factors that can change so that these margins can return to the levels we saw before? You mentioned that Central America could raise margins a little bit and locate between 25 and 35%. Given that you have mentioned that the conditions in Central America have been favorable, why in this first semester you have not arrived to those margins, and that the margins be below what I initially expected at 33%. And in Colombia, I want to understand what would allow in the future that the margins go up again, because natural gas, we see no signals that the price may fall because of exchange rates or the punctual price of gas in dollars in Colombia. What are you expecting of prices of natural gas for the coming years? Because I understand the cost of natural gas has been one of the issues that has most affected the company, and in the long term, how these costs could be kept at very high levels, and because of hydrology that has forced you to purchase energy at the stock. We have heard some things, the possibility that the Nino phenomenon go beyond 2016 in the first quarter. Towards what month do you expect hydrology in the Pacific improve so that your margins also improve in this way? And the other question that I had, so we have three consecutive quarters registering net losses. Until when do you believe that this tendency is going to continue? The issue of taxes is very relevant, and I want to understand if these effective tax rates are going to be permanent. We speak of more than 80% in this quarter, and what can we expect in terms of tax rates? Because I know that when we pass the LIB, we're not taking into account the tax authority accounting. So this should be an effect of the crops, or the company presents rates of payment of taxes that are very high. And I have a question on projects. Celsius at this time is analyzing some type of association acquisition or some type of contract with HENA, with Atlantic Generator. Okay, I'm going to answer the first two questions. I'm going to allow Esteban to answer for the third regarding the tax issues, and then in the end I will answer the issue of HENA. Firstly, the expectations for 2016, as you said, and we have commented, the Niño phenomena seems to be strong to the first semester of next year, but we also have the rainy season coming, and it will hopefully allow to produce generation levels in the southwest that is more reasonable than we have in the first semester. This should compensate, and we should see a bit how we see the hydro situation. We have a normal situation for those plants in 2015 and 2016, and we see a change. On the thermoelectric generation side, we have an issue, and it is that before the expectation, El Niño phenomenon that is very strong, and expecting price of coffee, not as it happened with the correction of oil price, gas, because the scheme of contracting affects thermoelectric producers, were the last in the chain, and it is very, very expensive for us. So we have to have gas that was very inflexible in price to go to buy that gas at a loss. So for the rest of the year, we have the gas contracted, and we won't have that situation for next year. So in 2016, we hope to see a more normal situation in the hydric side and in the thermal side, more backed than in the issue of generation. So I think we can see an improvement of the margins that you were mentioning. That would be what I would say. I would like to ask you until when you have contracted these high levels of gas. When do we expect that this cost of gas continues at high levels? Well, this contract, it will be over in the coming months. So you're going to see it clean towards the end of 2015. Regarding the issue of HENA, for those who are not familiarized, HENA is the generation plant that has the other Argos Group company is a plant that is on the border of the generation for Panama and Barra Las Minas. We do not have any connection with HENA yet. They continue operating independently by Jovinces. If they sell or want some support on our behalf for the plant or a specific issue, that they will consider. At this time, we have no plans for association. HENA is a backup plant of consumption of liquid fuels that has hydrology in Panama. It is not a plant that is operational like ours in that region. And I leave Stefan to speak on the taxation that we have in the corporations, because we have a level of taxation that is very high and that is taking us to complex situations of profitability, as Jaime mentioned. Regarding taxes in the second trimester of Central America, second quarter, they had a consolidated EBITDA of 40%, so we're above the 30 that we mentioned. That should be the range in which we should be, this 25 and 35. What do we need? We still, the company continues to confirm to increase income and reduce costs. So this takes us in time that the margin continues growing and arriving to higher levels. But the second quarter, we pointed out 30%. Regarding taxes, we have two important things here, or three important things here. One, the issue of consolidation. This is to say, the tax issue in Colombia is an issue by company and not by group. In that sense, we at the level of consolidated cannot compensate losses or compensate profits at the level of taxes when we have losses in one company and profits in another company. So we are talking about consolidated taxes. So profits before taxes corresponds to the economic compensation of losses and profits. So when I compare a society that is having losses to the second quarter and I add with profits of another, but I have taxes, then we see tax rates that are very high. The normal tax rates for each one of those societies are seen individually. We also see these taxes high because in the particular case of taxation, we have many issues that are not considered deductible for calculation of taxes. The particular case of CRE, that is the wealth tax and the ordinary income tax and many other items that should be deducted from tax. So income tax that should be of 35% or 34% has an effective rate of 38% when we start making the discounts. And the third is that today we have a difference, a more pronounced difference, because we have always had a difference between accounting and the tax PIF, but this is a marked difference because we have raised the values of depreciations and the revaluation of fixed assets, and this increased depreciation is not seen in tributation or taxation because we have a lesser depreciation on that size. Those three factors explain the tax rates. The deferred tax, so we see greater visibility on taxes, and the two commissions is more management of accounting provisions. So we have to see this more as a recognition of future taxes for the difference that we have between the tax and accounting systems. But we're going to open these so you feel at ease to know the effective tax rates. Thank you so much. I would like to make one last question connected to the price of shares. The question is basically if within the remuneration or payment to employees or staff of the company, you can find some type of bonus or incentives connected with the price of shares, or if by the contrary, by the payment of management, the price of shares is not an issue taking into account within your yearly goals. And the second point connected with the price of shares, we have seen that the liquidity of shares has been reduced importantly in the past few months, and I would like to know if it's of the interest of the company that that liquidity continue being high and they participate in indexes, and if the company is going to improve in this issues of liquidity of the shares. The issue of the price of shares permeates all. It has hit us hard. One recently arrived here to see those shares. It is not the best of scenarios. You do not like to see this in red every day. This hits us hard because when you see the basis of the company, you do not cannot explain what is happening, because the basis of the company, as you can see, we are in a year that is a typical, but it's not a fundamental year. And we do not expect this to continue going this way. And by the end of the year or next year, we're going to see a very different behavior. First, I say that the all administrative team of Celsia hurts and the shareholders the price of shares, and also the direction of or guidance of the company is indexed to the price of the shares, and we get bonuses that are long-term and that are connected to the price of shares. Our patrimony is indexed to that price, and we suffer the faults of this company. Regarding the liquidity of the share, it's an issue that concerns us. We saw a big fall 2 days ago for 200 million pesos. This is absurd. This is an issue that concerns us, that we have to study very well to to see how we can help the company and the shareholders to have a more liquid, that we can have capacity of reaction to things that are so absurd that if there's an offer of 200 million pesos, the share falls 5%. This can be bad for our shareholders and to attract new shareholders. We're going to work on this. Jaime, we do not have any idea or solution on the issue, but we're going to look at this carefully. So we have answered the question. Thank you for your answers. Very clear. All your answers. Thank you very much. And the share is very cheap, very low in price. The next question from the line of Diana Mosquera from Colfondos. Good morning. I would like to ask for more information that the resolution brought out by CREE last week where they make public the document 070 and they talk of the important modifications of to the generation matrix where we consider you can see affectation of the thermoelectric plants. You can talk a little bit more of this. We understand that this document is going to be in communications for 30 years and debate, 30 days and debate, and I want you to elaborate on the issue. Diana, thank you, but I think we have covered this a lot. I'm going to summarize the titles. I'm going to ask Natalia to communicate with you and explain in details what we have talked about Resolution 109. This resolution has favorable things in the sense that the structure that we have in the free zone, Zona Franca, that is the main generation plant that we have, is backed by OFACMI. So we have 11 years of charges by trustworthiness, and this is very important. It can only be affecting Medieléctrica in the sense that the charges by trustworthiness that we received and the type of contracting that we have of gas in Medieléctrica could be affected, and it could be there in a range that, and it could be affected by the charges. All our hydroelectric plants will not be affected. So this is a very favorable reading to Resolution 109. The other thing is that it puts the Porvenir 2 project to anything that might come and gives us a competitive advantage for anything coming in the next 8 or 9 months. Diana, if you believe, Natalia will communicate with you, and we can talk about what we have discussed in this call. Thank you very much. Thank you. The next question, Rafael España from CERCINCO. José Restrepo from CERCINCO, thank you for the space. I want to make a question regarding Central America. Seeing news of the region, you see that there are issues like the case of Barro Blanco in Panama, the possible suspension of eolic licenses or solar licenses in Panama, and some issue of suspension of conventionals, of licenses in conventionals in Costa Rica. There's not a lot of activity in renewable energies, but there's an excess of offer and projects. How are you seeing this environment of possible projects and competition in the region? Hello, Jose. Regarding Panama, this is very, very difficult. Palo Blanco is stopping that project completely. The amount of solar projects that were being presented is also generated the regulatory entity a problem with connection networks and connection of non-conventionals to the systems. We are playing in everything. We have solar projects. We also have an issue of extension in eolic services, but we are stopped before everything that is happening because since we are an established player, we have that advantage that we are in the market and that we have customers, we have contracts, and this gives us an ease and maneuver space that is greater. So we have opportunities here. That's what we see. and we are agile and skillful, as we mentioned. What is important is the company and its innovation systems, commercial and operational systems, be able to respond to all these challenges that are appearing, not just in Central America, but also in Colombia. In Colombia, we're going to have a situation of non-conventional and distributed energy that maybe in 5 years we will see very different scenarios from the ones that we are seeing today. And for this, we're preparing. Thank you. Okay, at this time we have no further questions. We give Señor Sierra the floor for closing comments. I want to thank all, and we hope that you continue being with us and that these comments give you a vision in the mid and long term. This is important. The tourney of the El Niño phenomenon is going to be, has been very strong, but we hope that the coming semesters and years we have better results. But I want to say that in Celsia we're working with energy and we're attuned to be able to change this tendency and have better results in the future. Thank you very much.